This is a CKTZ news update. The legal issues at Fairy Creek with Zipporah Berman. As the RCMP continue arrests of forest defenders at the Fairy Creek blockades, legal and political questions abound following the BC court's decision to take over the persecution of arrestees at the request from logging corporation Teal Jones.
There's a long history of this in British Columbia, of corporations using injunctions to protect them and then the government really fighting their battles for them. I find it reprehensible that the government is going to be using taxpayers' dollars and jailing its own citizens because of its own failure to implement its own policy. I think history will look back on this moment in time in British Columbia's history, and all of these people, these teachers, these scientists, these nurses, these Olympic swimmers, like amazing people that I met who are blockading at Fairy Creek, they are not criminals, you know, they're heroes, and I think that's how they're going to be seen.
Longtime activist Zipporah Berman, founder of Stand.Earth, was deeply involved in the Clackwat Sound old-growth logging protests in the early 1990s, the largest act of civil disobedience in Canadian history, with more than 900 arrests of forest defenders. As of Wednesday, July 28th, the Fairy Creek Blockade's official media channel reports 496 arrests to date and counting since police enforcement of the court injunction granted to Teal Jones Group began in late May of this year. It had been 27 years since Berman last found herself at a blockade protecting old growth, having switched focus to climate change campaigns such as stopping the expansion of fossil fuels and fracking.
The thing that really pushed me out of my comfort zone and made me go to Fairy Creek after all these years, about a month before I went, independent scientists produced a report looking at mapping ecological values of how much is left in British Columbia. And those maps are devastating. There's so little left of high productivity, carbon-rich old growth forests, especially rainforests. In the last couple of years, we have learned so much about how important old growth is to climate resilience, for maintaining water systems, for maintaining the very ecosystem services that sustain us. The idea of just logging these last areas, when we now know how important they are to our survival, it's just seemed so insane. And I'm so angry at the NDP government because they've promised over and over to protect old growth and they're still allowing it to be logged. I believe BC's remaining old growth will be protected. The majority of the public want it to be protected. But the problem right now is that the government committed to do it and they've been slow in doing it and done terrible deferrals that are only partial deferrals and allowing the logging to happen. So the industry has seen the writing on the wall. They know this is going to happen eventually. So now they're logging faster in critical old growth areas across the province. So this moment that we're living in, these next couple of months, until the government gets its act together and actually makes good on its promise. And then the images out of Fairy Creek, it was shocking to me. You know, I worked for 15 years on forestry and conservation. I didn't even know in the valleys in and around Fairy Creek, there was yellow cedars that were 2,000 years old. And I thought, this is a crime. We can't log the last of this. Maybe because I have after almost 30 years of activism, some reputational capital, maybe that'll help. It'll get some media interest. And so I went, and it did.
Berman's arrest was immediately covered by several national publications, serving its purpose to take awareness of the blockades to a national and international level.
One of the things that I think is really not okay about what's going on in Fairy Creek is that the RCMP has been setting up these exclusion zones.
An exclusion zone is a restricted area set up by the police around demonstrators whom they intend to extract from their blockading devices, followed by arrest and physical removal from the scene. Just last week, a coalition of independent media outlets won the right in a BC Supreme Court ruling to be present and document these arrests at Fairy Creek without undue obstruction by the RCMP. Until then, and even in the days following the ruling, media access was at the whim of RCMP officers present on the scene.
That's not safe. The courts recently agreed that it's illegal. We have a right to free speech. We have a right to bear witness. We have a right to make sure that those people who are locking themselves to various things to stop the logging and block the roads, to make sure they're safe. Yes, what they're doing is illegal. That is civil disobedience. They are trying to stop the logging. They are taking that risk and they will be arrested. But they deserve to have witnesses to that arrest. They deserve to be safe. I'd be in the day before to visit people at Waterfall Camp and Ridge Camp and headquarters, and I had hiked into some of the biggest areas of old growth. So I had spent a day really getting to know people and going to all these places. So what happened that morning is we heard there was a blockade happening, and we saw this massive RCMP contingent, like 30 vehicles heading towards them. 30 vehicles. And then there's four people sitting on the road, you know.
Berman was allowed into the exclusion zone with a small contingent of media representatives.
By the time we got up there, the police had surrounded and barricaded the people who were sitting on the road. And the police marched me and the press past them. And they said, you have to stand on the other side of the barricade with the press. And I just had this moment, you know, was looking at these people sitting down. And two of the people I had met the night before, a woman and her daughter, they were our farmers and they run a B&B in Cowichan Valley. And they said, we've been watching this on the news for months. And we've been preparing to come, and now we're here. We've never done civil disobedience before. And so there they were the next morning, having slept on this logging road, their hands chained to each other, sitting on the road. And I had thought about getting arrested. I had planned to get arrested, but I had planned to be there a lot more days before I did it. But I just, at that moment, I just sat down on the road. And the police got really upset, and they said, no, you can't sit here. And I just said really calmly to them, I'm sitting with these people. I'm staying with these people. And I'm going to blockade the logging here today. And one of the officers said, oh, I see. We know who you are. You're just trying to get your media moment or whatever. And then they whisked me away as fast as they could before anyone could see what was happening.
Berman was held in the back of a truck for 2 hours, then driven down the hill and held in a paddy wagon for another 4 hours. She's very critical of the way that RCMP handled their arrestees.
I felt like I was treated like an animal. No water, no food, just stuck in this cage for hours and hours and hours on end. And it was like a really tiny little cage, like you couldn't stretch your legs. It was hot in that truck. It was horrible. They drove for a long time and I was really nauseous. And then we got to the Lake Cowichan police station, but then they kept me in the box. So the car parked in the garage. There were other people in other cages in the same vehicle. We'd been able to talk through the grill. And they said, we're going to let you out one by one as we process you. And then we sat there for another hour and a half. And so finally I was like, I need water and I have to go to the bathroom. So I just started banging on the back of the thing and they let me come in and go to the bathroom. But then they put me back in the cage. I was arrested at about 10 o'clock in the morning. I was released at 5 p.m. And there was nothing offered to me throughout that whole time. And people were mostly unpleasant. They don't have to be. And I was one of the lucky ones. I'm white. I'm well known. I'm a woman of privilege. They didn't physically harm me. But I've definitely seen some videos, especially with Indigenous youth or Indigenous elders, where it was not okay. It's not okay what they're doing. And that's why I think it's really important that as many people as possible go. If there are very few people, then people are less safe.
On July 8th, Berman successfully challenged her bail conditions, which prevented her from going back to the entire Fairy Creek area. Although the judge's ruling applied to her only, she encourages others arrested at the blockades to use her legal arguments, which are now on public record, to contest their own bail conditions and win the right to return to the protests.
I think that's unconstitutional. This is public land. Of course, it's unceded First Nations land, Indigenous sovereign territories. But the idea that you can't go back to the region at all to bear witness to what is happening is ridiculous. In Clackwit, we argued this as well, that the bail conditions should not mean that they keep people from going back to the region. We have a right to bear witness to what's happening here, especially when it's a failure of public policy. The government has committed to protect old growth. The scientists in the expert panel, their own expert panel, has said they need to protect what's left of the old growth. And meanwhile, this is being logged. What you're charged with is contempt of court because there is an injunction protecting Teal Jones so that they're able to log. So if you violate that injunction by blocking them, then you're in contempt of court. So I was charged with civil contempt of court, but I understand that the government of British Columbia is now taking on the cases at the request of Teal Jones and considering criminal charges.
How do you feel about that?
It's weird for me personally. David Eby has been a friend for a long time. He's the Attorney General now. I campaigned for him, knocked on the doors to get him elected. And I think it's wrong that the Attorney General will now be prosecuting its own citizens.
There are so many people asking, with so much evidence that logging the last of what standing old growth we have is unconscionable, why is this even a conversation? How can we be in this place where people are having to chain themselves to the ground to block logging trucks when 85% of British Columbians...
Yeah, the majority of British Columbians want to see old growth protected. I think what's holding us back is money. It's money and political power. It's an NDP government that has shown a remarkable lack of imagination in designing new infrastructure and new economic opportunities. Yet they know that they have to show jobs to get reelected. A lot of their support comes from unions. And the logging industry has historically been extremely powerful and very integrated into the bureaucracy of FLNRO, of the Ministry of Forests. And so it's kind of like a perfect storm where you have a lot of bureaucrats who think we have enough old growth already protected, who are very pro-industry. You have unions who are pressuring the NDP not to allow any loss of jobs. I mean, really, it's a lack of imagination. It's a lack of creativity in creating new economic opportunities. It's just like this inertia in the system. This is a small industry. It's been shrinking now for years. And the job loss that we've seen in the forest industry is not because of protection of old growth. It's because the industry is employing less people so that it costs them less and they can make higher profits. So we have the annual allowable cut, how much is logged in BC, has not gone down in 10 years, but jobs have gone down by 50%. So they're just logging the same amount, but they're employing less people. And deaths in the forest have gone way up because they're taking more risks with people's lives. And that's about profits. It's about greed. And it's not even a big job creator in BC anymore. The high tech industry, the clean tech industry, the tourism industry, the film industry, all of that is eating forestry's lunch. What we've been trying to encourage the government to do is to really start looking at these other more progressive, newer industries and support them. Imagine if the $500 million in subsidies that have gone to fracking companies this year or logging companies this year instead went to high tech and clean tech and the film industry or the tourism industry. Small businesses that are struggling across the province. It's possible to ensure economic diversification. It is already happening in British Columbia, but I've been pretty dismayed and shocked by the traditional economic extractive model that the Horgan government has been pursuing. And it's surprising. There's a lot of young, progressive MLAs, but I think that this old growth fight has been a wake-up call for this government. And I think they're realizing if they want to maintain a majority, let alone win another election, they're going to have to become more progressive. I understand that they've hired Marianne Mazzucato, who's a brilliant economist, that has had a significant role in advising a number of other countries in how to move forward into a new economy and a more progressive economy. So again, that's hopeful. I think the opposition that they've felt and concern that they've seen on old growth has really been a wake-up call to them that they can't just continue doing business as usual.
How do you stay hopeful?
I really think action is the antidote to despair. Being in Fairy Creek was so fun. Just meeting all these amazing, interesting people from all walks of life who have come together with this sense of common purpose. I feel very lucky. I get up every morning and I get to work on the stuff that keeps me up at night. I think we are living in an incredibly important moment in history where we are redesigning industrial systems. The way we transport ourselves, the way we heat our homes, what kind of logging we do, how much of the earth's surface we're going to mine or how much instead we're going to use that's already on top of the earth. This is a very exciting time in history. It requires creativity and imagination and persistence. And now I've been at it a long time and I see more change now happening quicker. There has been more technological change on renewables, on battery storage, on electric vehicles in the last 2 years than the last 20. We've hit a tipping point where we're seeing renewable energy is now cheaper than fossil fuel energy. Social sentiment has changed. It's not okay to log old growth now. It's like elephants for ivory. The world is changing to prioritize environmental sustainability and recognizing climate change. I mean, the first decade that I worked on climate change, every interview was about whether climate change was real. Now we know it's real, we're living it, it's happening. And yes, that's scary, but there's still time. But it is going to require all hands on deck. It means that we all have to step up in whatever way we're called to in order to engage. And partly I stay hopeful because I think we're now winning. I think we're on the winning side on a whole bunch of these issues. And partly it's because I guess I love what I do.
What can the average person do to move the needle?
People think you have to be an expert to work on these issues, but you don't. We all have the capacity to pick up the phone and call our MLA or our MP and tell them that these issues matter. And they need to know that. We think of ourselves as consumers, that all that we can do is buy an electric car or save up for this or that. We're not just consumers, we're citizens. We elect these people, they work for us. So they need to hear from us that these issues are important to us, whether that's old growth or climate change, so that they know, they factor that in when they make decisions. I work with an organization called Stand.Earth, which I founded, and we run environmental campaigns, and there's lots of ways for people to get involved in those online, so I hope they will. I think it's really exciting that we're seeing so much citizens' engagement on these issues right now.
You have been listening to an interview with activist Sephora Berman about the legal and political issues at Fairy Creek.